According to leading Australian EV evangelists, quote, using the diesel generator to charge an EV is more energy efficient than burning diesel to move a vehicle along. I think they mean in an engine. Anyway, here on Earth, I'd suggest it's high time we sliced this particularly cancerous myth clean off, as Dirty Harry would have said, in the interest of doing this before it spreads and catches hold. I'm John Dinogan from AutoExpert.com.au. New cars, cheap, but Australia only. Website, card. Now, formalities out of the way, the electric utopians were discharging quite heavily into their trousers the other day, I note, when, miraculously enough, a 75-kilowatt NRMA fast charger finally got commissioned way out there in the outback. This is the stuff of which cleanups in aisle two are made. In that neck of the woods, of course. Take a look at it, dude. Like, one observation off the bat. Solar panel efficiency being what it is, kind of says that if you want to produce 75 kilowatts of electricity using only a solar array, you need roughly 400 square meters of really, really good panels and a quite bright sunny day, of course. That doesn't look like 400 square meters to me, like, just saying. So the system also has unstated battery storage capacity and a diesel generator. So it'll recharge an unstated number of EVs at 75 kilowatts, presumably until the battery capacity is exhausted, after which the options pretty clearly are charge slower using solar only, or not at all if at night, or run the diesel generator. And I'm totally okay with that, dude. Like, we're in the corner penthouse of nowhere central, and very few EVs are likely to be passing through anytime soon. Like, what a trip from hell, especially in an EV, but to each their own, I'd suggest. However, what I'm totally not okay with here is that apparently this installation as it stands is simply not good enough on its objective merits for these dipshit electric utopians. To them, this kind of thing is properly a religion, and therefore the facts are kind of disposable. On their fantasy world, using diesel to charge your EV has to be somehow more virtuous than using it to run a conventional vehicle, of course. Unfortunately, science really doesn't support this kind of quasi-religious horseshit. The rest of this video is therefore a deconstruction of this appallingly ill-informed concept. This report is sponsored by NordVPN. Get 4 extra months of Nord for free now, plus a huge discount at nordvpn.com/AEJC. Online security threats and scams are everywhere, but you don't have to be the next victim. That's where NordVPN comes in. Nord does the stuff that you and I don't really understand in the background, hiding your IP address and locking everything down. Go to nordvpn.com/AEJC now. Your exclusive Auto Expert discount is huge right now. Plus, you're going to get 4 extra months completely free. nordvpn.com/AEJC. I'll put a link in the description. Just subscribe, download the app, and connect. One click later, your IP address is shielded and your online traffic is heavily encrypted across as many as 6 of your devices. Nord is the fastest VPN on the planet. It costs only about as much as one cup of coffee every month to keep your data, your identity, and your devices secure. Masking your location means you'll also get access to streaming and other services that might be blocked where you live. Plus, you can continue to watch your favourite content when you travel. You might even be able to score some great online travel deals that are unavailable where you live. Go to nordvpn.com/AEJC now. Boost your security and enjoy that huge discount plus those extra 4 months completely free. It's totally risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. That's nordvpn.com/AEJC. Link in the description. Okay, so here is the case for the electric utopians on this. Even using the diesel generator to charge an EV is more energy efficient than burning diesel to move a vehicle along. Hence, diesel electric trains and mine trucks. That's Greg McGarvey in a conversation I kind of got dragged into on Twitter X the other day. Mr. McGarvey is a qualified marine scientist. Surely he had to do at least some basic physics to get that. He has a BSc brackets marine from James Cook University in the early 1970s. And not coincidentally, he's chiming in on this, I presume, because he's also the managing director of ACE EV Group, which after 8 long years and 3 months of quote-unquote operation, still doesn't seem to have any of its 4 somewhat interesting electric light commercial vehicles actually on sale. Pro tip, YEWT. That's not funny. But it does seem to me tantamount to a curse. Kind of like calling your kid Adolf, doesn't it? Imagine turning up to the mines on your very first day in a YEWT. You can reserve yours now too, dude, for a mere 199 to 480 smackers, depending on which model you'd like other people to stare at you in. Pro tip, Macca G, from somebody who is properly qualified to know this shit, who solved all the differential equations, studied all the Newton, all the D'Alembert, who hates fucking Laplace, and actually worked as a mechanical fucking engineer in the railways. A diesel electric powertrain is not found on locomotives because it is more fuel efficient. That's just horseshit. Diesel electric is chosen for heavy plant and machinery of this nature because a mechanical transmission would be hideously inexpensive and overly complex, not to mention quite heavy and hard to maintain. In the case of locomotives, just imagine getting, I don't know, ballpark 2,500, maybe 3,000 horsepower distributed to 6 drive axles on a locomotive across 2 bogies which are separated by 10 metres. You'd need quite the array of gears and shafts, wouldn't you? Big fuck off ones too, dude. Just saying. Alternatively, I suppose you could just stick a generator up that massive engine's anus and you could run some juicy copper cables to traction motors directly mounted above the axles. That's got to be a lot easier and cheaper. And you'd get maximum tractive effort at V equals zero, wouldn't you? Which is quite helpful at times when you're Thomas the fucking Tank Engine on steroids with several hundred tons of coal behind you or something. I can understand why they probably didn't cover this off in any great detail during marine science, however. It probably doesn't help you understand the dynamics of the thermohaline conveyor or some such. If one is a marine scientist, or a politician, or even a pimp with an interest in power transmission, let me spell this out. Diesel electric is not implemented for efficiency. It's the simplest, least expensive option with the most tractive effort at low speeds. That's the why. Any efficiency argument underpinned by statements such as, hence, diesel electric trains and mine trucks. It's entirely fallacious, even if you say it with a straight face, and it's so out of step with objective engineering reality. I don't think Macagee likes me very much. And I get it. Like, I'm not here to be liked. Go figure. My give-a-fuck tank is properly on E about being liked. So, no hard feelings, Macagee. Electric utopians don't like the critics of Electric Utopia, especially ones who paid attention at university and university, even if they can't fucking pronounce it, and hence they know what they're talking about. That's kind of important. Anyway, using Cadogan as your reference underlines a misunderstanding of the science. To repeat, diesel-generated electricity, if it has to be used, is more energy efficient than running a fossil fuel engine on diesel. Pro tip, Macagee. Exclamation marks are actually only for shouting, dude. If you want to add emphasis, just use more emphatic language. They're called exclamation marks, not emphasis marks, and I'd argue that there are more than enough emphatic words available in the English language. Okay, so with that out of the way, Macagee's imputations are apparently, number one, using me as a reference means you don't understand the science. That seems, I don't know, defamatory. An unkind person would perhaps consult their solicitor on this, but I'm probably not going to do that because basically I'm such a fucking great bloke and, let's face it, as shots go, it's not a particularly good one. Like, it's just a flesh wound, right? But dude, of all the motoring journalists to allege has a lack of understanding of the combustion science and efficiency and the second law of thermodynamics and things of that nature, Goldilocks target, dude, like just Goldilocks. This is pretty basic combustion science, I'd suggest. I did get the training on this, all mechanical engineers do. And I could be wrong, I could make a mistake with the calculations, I suppose. Perhaps you might like to make notes and see if I've botched any of the upcoming very fucking basic calculations, which a moron could do on the back of a napkin in girl's lippy, half-tanked, or boy's lippy. Like, it doesn't matter whose fucking lippy it is. And imputation number two. Diesel-generated electricity is somehow cleaner or more virtuous than burning it in a vehicle, or that burning it in a vehicle, depending on which version of the language you have uploaded. Is Macagee really sure about that, this virtue thing? Has he run the numbers on it, really? Would he even know how? Let's fact check this, because I doubt sincerely that Mr. McGarvey has ever spent all that much time playing around with applied thermodynamics or Carnot cycles, adiabatic processes, etc. So that really only leaves one of us to sort this shit out, doesn't it? His position on combustion is pretty clear. Combustion, according to him, is an instrument of the devil, I'm paraphrasing, in the interests of not just humanity, but, quote, all humanity. He argues, we need to stop burning fossil fuels and pumping pollution into the atmosphere. Do we? I would retort that the view is always spectacular from the summit of Ideology Mountain. But here, in the pragmatic real world, if we were to do this, like just stop burning fossil fuels, there would be a mass human extinction event. Immediately, more or less. And afterwards, if there is one, things would be ever so slightly 12th century, if we're lucky. And of course, in the developing world, which still exists, the thing that pulls people out of poverty and stops them dying during childbirth or of toothaches or minor falls, basic broken limbs and sundry other complaints that are mere inconveniences here in the developed world, and which emancipates women, etc. Like the thing that does that on a daily basis today in the developing world is access to hydrocarbon energy. This is a fact. You do not have to like it, but it's still a fucking fact. This is a current Atlas Copco QES100 diesel generator. It produces 80 kilowatts of 50 hertz AC electricity at 400 volts. It's a diesel engine, a fuel tank, an alternator, in a box with a control system and galvanized skids to facilitate forklift portability. At 100% of its rated load, where it's going to be most fuel efficient, according to Atlas Copco, it's going to drink 20.5 litres per hour of diesel. It's also not required to offer any exhaust gas emissions control, so it doesn't. This makes it substantially filthier than a comparable vehicle, like a vehicle with a comparable engine. That's on the issue of carcinogenic particles, oxides of nitrogen, unburned hydrocarbons, carbon monoxide, all the stuff that gets treated in a vehicle, right? It's a good machine, but hey, a diesel vehicle is going to be objectively substantially cleaner. 20.5 litres per hour at full load, 80 kilowatts, okay? About a jerry can every hour, flat out, working efficiently, according to Atlas Copco. So probably a somewhat optimistic claim, as manufacturers' claims of this nature tend to be, but let's give them the benefit of the doubt on that too. In fact, throughout this entire evisceration of this bullshit claim, I'm going to be entirely generous to Team Electric Utopia and their claim that a generator charging an EV is miraculously more efficient somehow than a diesel vehicle. It's kind of important to run generators at or near their maximum rated load when you can, if you want to achieve peak efficiency, because the relationship is non-linear. In other words, they drink more than half the fuel at half the load. For example, at a quarter of the rated load in the ballpark, it's going to be fuel burned per kilowatt hour produced about 10 or 12% higher because the generator is less efficient at lower loads. But let's give them that too. Generously. Let's say that they only ever run the generator at its most efficient load, and when charging ramps down, as it inevitably will for the final 20% of the EV's battery capacity, the additional generator capacity is devoted to something else. For example, the on-site storage batteries, keeping them topped up or something. So, the generator, generously, never runs in this compromised low load state. Let's further assume, also generously, that the fuel consumption of the generator remains exactly as Atlas Copco claims, and not 1 milliliter more per hour, even in the heat and even approaching the 500-hour service interval when the air filter is going to be obviously, partly at least, obstructed by copious exposure to outback dust, etc. This is me being so preposterously generous to Team Utopia. We'll do a thought experiment now, shall we? You pull up in this place in your Ioniq 5, and dude, it's flat as a maggot. You rolled the last 50 metres dead as a dead dingo's donga. Dude, it's an all-wheel drive long-range variant with a usable battery capacity of 74 kilowatt hours. Get a pen, dude. Fact check me on what's coming up, okay? 74 divided by 80 equals 92.5% of 20.5 litres of fucking diesel, which is 19 litres of diesel to recharge that car. Except the generator produces AC power, and that's not going to work, is it? It has to be rectified to DC to fast charge the car, and probably transformed beforehand to a higher voltage as well, because, you know, science. And according to this paper in CommScope, the peak efficiency of DC rectification is 89 to 92%. So let's call it I don't know, 90% in the ballpark for convenience. That's fair. In other words, the Jenny is making 100% of whatever AC electricity, and when you rectify it to DC, 10% is going to be lost to waste heat, second law of thermodynamics, whatever, okay? Reality works only in this way. Every time you do a process, available energy gets lost, says the second law of thermodynamics. Let's be exceedingly generous, right? And wipe the slate completely clean on transformer efficiency, however, because I don't think I'm going to need that. Call it negligible. This is me being so generous. So, to get 74 kilowatt hours out of the plug on the charger, we need 74 divided by 90%, like divided by 0.9, out of the Atlas Copco alternator equals frickin' 82.2 kilowatt hours from the diesel generator. And then we have to get it into the vehicle, don't we? Otherwise, it's not much use. Specifically, we have to jam it into the battery. The second law of thermodynamics also has a little something to say about that as well. Go figure. It exists everywhere. It affects everything, dude. Everything's a clock. Second law. When you recharge a battery on your EV, for example, or your Camry, your phone, your power tool, doesn't really matter, any battery, you are forcing a chemical reaction to take place inside the battery. The chemicals repolarize from a depleted state with low energy to a state with a high degree of stored energy. It's a matter of common experience, the doing of it, that's what's really happening deep down in there. This reaction does not want to occur. It will not spontaneously occur. Like you leave a flat battery on the bench, you're not going to come downstairs tomorrow and it's going to be full unless you charged it. So you have to force this reaction to take place. Discharge wants to happen, will happen over time, inevitably, even if the battery is not used. But when you want to recharge, you really have to put in the work, okay? If you want that battery recharged, that's on you, dude. The faster you recharge, the faster the repolarizing reaction in the battery occurs, and the more waste heat is inevitably generated per unit time. And this really has to be dealt with. Like, if you're pumping in, I don't know, 80 kilowatts, and just 2 kilowatts of that is waste heat, which represents a process that's 97.5% efficient, so pretty good, that is still a 2 kilowatt heater in an enclosed box packed full of explosive chemicals, which, not ideal, let's just put it like that. So the BMS, the battery management system, has to activate the cooling system in the car, otherwise you're going to be on the news. Optimal battery temperature for recharging is probably 25 or 30 degrees C or something. Outback Australia, obviously at times, maybe 40 degrees or more. So that's a bit of a problem, isn't it? In fact, Isaac Newton had rather a lot to say about things of this nature, but basically he said that heat transfers from hot places to cold places at a rate proportional to the difference in temperature between the fucking places. Although that's really just a macro probability statement, and in fact, at a subatomic level, it can go either way, which is kind of interesting and also ever so slightly spooky, not unlike Schrödinger's cat, now that I think about it. Anyway, the bottom line is if a battery is generating 2 kilowatts of waste heat and you want to maintain 25 to 30 degrees in a high ambient temperature environment such as the outback, you're really going to need a refrigeration system, aren't you? If you've just got forced convection, kind of like the radiator in a conventional car, you're never going to get the battery to the ideal temperature and charging efficiency is going to plummet. Also, risk is going to elevate, so there's that. The best EV battery cooling systems are just like your refrigerator at home. Your refrigerator is an insulated box, and the job of its cooling system is to pump out whatever ambient heat manages to seep in or come in through the door when it's open by juggling evaporation and condensation of a working fluid, okay? It's not such a big job in a fridge, but Imagine filling the fridge with bottles of petrol and installing a 2 kilowatt space heater and then just kind of hoping for the best. Limit the doing of this to your imagination too, by the way. Don't do it. It's not going to end well. And this is exactly how an EV battery rolls when it's being charged and discharged every time, right? The space heater, the explosive chemicals, the management system keeping it all under control. Effective cooling for fast charging is not optional. It's just not. You need to run the BMS-driven cooling system when accepting 80 kilowatts of fast charging. You just do, because otherwise, the news. The car uses energy from the battery to run its BMS and its cooling system. Obviously, there are fans and pumps and things of that nature. It needs to use that energy from the battery simply because we haven't managed to invent magic yet. That's on us. According to this paper here from ResearchGate, if you're only pumping in 3 kilowatts into a battery, the recharge efficiency is pretty much a flat line at 85%, irrespective of the state of charge. And this is going to be kind of like when you use the cable that came with the car plugged into a standard power point, okay? In other words, if you need 85 kilowatt hours or something to go into the battery, you need to extract 100 kilowatt hours out of the wall, and over the required time, which for 85 kilowatts will be ballpark 40 hours or something, 15 kilowatt hours of that energy is going to be lost to the air around it as waste heat, because reality, second law, inefficiency. But as you pile on the fast charging, things get interesting. It's more efficient to fast charge the battery when it's reasonably depleted, and it's less efficient as the battery gets fuller. And as you can see with that table, which is not complete, but it illustrates the point, with 50 kilowatts of input charging the battery, the charging efficiency ramps up to over 90% at low states of charge, and it drops to nearly 80% at a 60% state of charge. Now, evangelists are not above cherry picking. They pick a particular point on this recharging curve where the recharging efficiency is over 90%, and then they erroneously apply that to the whole recharging process to make EVs look good. Unfortunately, reality just doesn't work like that. So when you look at that trend, okay, I don't see how you can expect an overall fast charging efficiency from empty to full of more than 85% on a fast charger, okay? This means we're going to have to divide the energy required at the generator by that 85% to deliver 74 kilowatt hours into the battery, because physics losses. Efficiency, the second frickin' law, it's everywhere. It's like the Matrix, dude. We were at 82.2 kilowatt hour requirement thanks to the DC rectification losses, and then divide it by 0.85 equals 96.7 kilowatt hours to put 74 of them into the battery. And this calculation makes no allowance for running the BMS or the cooling system. So again, I am striving to be entirely generous to the electric utopian bullshit position that the generator is simply better. In other words, this is another epic free kick from me to them. In order to make 96.7 kilowatt hours from that Atlas Copco QES100 generator and subject that to all of the processes necessary to charge the battery, during which 22.7 kilowatt hours, or probably more if I'm less generous, is lost, mainly to waste heat, thanks to God writing the second law of thermodynamics into the fucking source code of the universe, we need to burn 96.7 divided by 80 times 20.5 litres of fuel equals 24.8 litres. As a concession to my overwhelming generosity to this point, let's just call it 25, dude. EV database now, it says that an Ioniq 5 all-wheel drive long range will drive 350 kilometres on the highway in mild weather. So let's just go with that. This bullshit NRMA charger is located on the highway, let's not forget, in the middle of nowhere. You can't even see the middle of nowhere from there, right? Redbook says the official highway fuel consumption of, say, Hyundai Palisade diesel is 6.2, I think, litres per 100 kilometres. And they are pretty close vehicles, dimensionally and in terms of their mass. Palisade and Ioniq 5, that is. So 25 litres of diesel, generously, will take an Ioniq 5 about 350 km in the outback. Now, as someone who has competed in the World Solar Challenge twice in diesel production cars, I can tell you that you can absolutely smash the official highway driving number by driving conservatively in the outback. But again, to be entirely generous to Maca G and electric utopians generally, let's just use the official highway number, which says 25 litres of diesel in a Palisade will take it 25 divided by 6.2 litres per 100 times 100 equals about 400 kilometres. I think it's 403 kilometres in the outback, okay? Versus 350 kilometres in an Ioniq 5 against a very generous backdrop of entirely free kicks from me to the bullshit position of ambient electric utopians. And it's still a 14% disparity in spite of my generosity. And it favours using the diesel for combustion in an engine to move the vehicle. Now, if I get real mellow on this, like super mellow, perhaps after drinking a whole Bogan martini, which is a very simple drink, dude. You get a bottle of gin and you put it in a big fuck-off glass and you drink it. Or I suppose you can just have it straight, like straight out of the bottle. That works also. With a Bogan martini on board, I might say, dude, they're about the same. I guess there's so many variables, rates of charge and ambient temperatures and comparison vehicle selection and different generators and BMSs and refrigeration systems, etc., that one standard deviation or something from the mean, they're going to be about the same. Too close to call, and it really doesn't matter anyway, because if we limit it to the outback, it's statistical anomaly. But you know what? Right now, stone cold sober, sitting here before you and not wearing pants, as per usual, looking at the imputation from some managing director who might one day sell a ute, Y-A-W-T, or not, and who could probably bore the leg off a freaking chair discussing ocean acidity, who seemingly alleges by implication that I'm the one who doesn't understand or misrepresent the science, I'd say three things. Number one, fuck that, dude. This is not an opinion. Science says it's emphatically not more efficient to power an EV with diesel from a generator than just to run a comparable diesel-burning vehicle. Quite the opposite, in fact. There is no evidence to support the bullshit electric utopian argument. And they don't need evidence anyway, do they? Because, hey, they've got each other. Number two, when you stoop to an ad hominem argument, playing the man and not the issue, you've already lost the fight, haven't you? Because you are standing on a foundation of an epic logical fallacy, probably the worst logical fallacy in the business. Referencing me allegedly means you're wrong. There has to be a better way to resolve issues. In fact, there is a better way, but as a species, we are forgetting how to argue things on their merits. Number three, this somewhat horseshit position on magical recharge efficiency, it seems to me, unless there really is some magical power imposed by some deity, perhaps Elon fucking Musk himself, that blesses the diesel used in a generator for charging an EV with a miraculous efficiency superpower upgrade, which none of the thoroughly established engineering science supports, incidentally, it simply cannot ever be more efficient to use diesel to charge EVs in the outback compared with just driving a diesel vehicle, like a roughly equivalent diesel vehicle, through the outback. Come on. Like, holy water is a thing if you believe that crap, I suppose. But let's draw a line somewhere, preferably well before we get to holy diesel, shall we? I've looked at this issue several times, and it seems to me that these bold efficiency claims are never underpinned by any evidence that the person making them has even run the numbers. They're just nice sounding sound bites from the Ten Commandments in electric freaking utopia. I mean, heaven, obviously. I would further argue that Macagee and people like him with a clear vested interest in promoting EVs are simply not entitled to any view they want on this or any similar issue. Their frickin' truth, whatever. There is only one truth on things of this ontologically objective nature. And on this, I would further argue that one can only faithfully represent the science or be a bullshitter, perhaps unwittingly. I'm trying really, really hard not to be that bullshitter on this one. And you can help, perhaps. Two kinds of people are going to watch this video. People who understand thermodynamics to the extent required to jump through these admittedly basic hoops. And the other kind would be applied physics numpties, such as, I don't know, politicians, pimps, and economists. If I got any of this wrong, and I'm certainly not immune to the commission of errors, unfortunately, I'd be thrilled to know exactly where and how. Of course, if you just spent so much time at school exclusively studying boobies or the ocean, or if your position is simply that CO2 is plant food, so this kind of thing really doesn't matter, you might just want to sit this one out, dude, and leave it to the frickin' grown-ups.